And thank you for that reading that was given. You might wonder, what does Ezra have to do with Ephesians? Oh, I attempted to ask that question. Anybody want to answer that question? What does Ezra have to do with Ephesians? Well, the answer is perhaps more straightforward than you think. The question that Ezra might ask us if he came, the prophet, and stood amongst us, or the Apostle Paul might ask us is, church, how is your heart? How is your heart? We've just sung that wonderful hymn. It is a wonderful hymn, isn't it, about the ancient words. And we said that we want to open up our hearts to his word. And that is a good place to be. But friends, how is your heart this morning? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being? Do you? I think that's what the prophet was saying in Ezra, and I'm so grateful that we had the opportunity to look at that together. Why were they doing what they were doing in Ezra? And we might think, well, these strange sacrifices, these odd things they were doing, but we were reflecting in our group the wonderful thing that it reminds us to remember what God is doing. We also reflected in our group that we can't do anything if we're not in the vine, John 15, if we're not linked in with Christ, if we're not joined in with him. Friends, it's possible to be very, very busy, but not necessarily fruitful. So what I wanted to bring today, when Pastor Samuel said, would you bring God's word? I said, well, what are you studying? And he wouldn't tell me. I wish he had. Ezra has a lot to do with Ephesians. He said, just bring whatever's on your heart. Well, I've tried to do that, and I was preaching in my own church in the UK on Ephesians 1 recently, and I thought, I would like to bring that, but what I want to bring to you today is really a word of encouragement. God's word is encouraging. I hope you have your Bibles with you, and if you don't, I hope you have that modern version, you know, the phone, and you can swipe. I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of swiping if you don't have the pages, but if you have the pages, then please turn to them. I'm not going to ask you to try and keep a finger in each of these references, but jot them down if you've got a pen or just put them into your phone. Acts chapter 19 is where we find some of the story of Ephesus. Acts chapter 18 and 19. I'm not going to read it to you, just jot it down, but you might want to keep it in your mind. Then, of course, we have the book of Ephesians, and we're going to concentrate a little bit on chapter 1. But I also want to remind you that in the very last book of Scripture, one of the churches that was spoken about by John when he had his vision was this same church. It was the Ephesian church, and we read in Revelation chapter 2 some very interesting things. It's wonderful, isn't it, in Scripture that we have the history when Paul first came to Ephesus, we have the book written to the Ephesians, and we also have a prophecy at the very end of Scripture about the Ephesians. And if you look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, we find these words. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Yet I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love." You have forsaken your first love. Friends, we need to continue to pray that our love will be renewed, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love those pictures there of the marriage weekend that you're having, and that is a good thing to have. I also love the fact that you're inviting singles as well. Brilliant. Because the Lord Jesus Christ loves all of us, whatever our status is, whether we're in a relationship or not. And the relationship of marriage is simply a foretaste of what is true for all of us as Christians. We are related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, some of the people in Jesus' day were rather surprised when he said, there won't be marriage in heaven. No, there'll be something even better. We were the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will love him perfectly as he perfectly loves us. So there's hope for all of us, whether we're married or whether we're not, whether we have been married, whether we hope to be married, whatever our status. But how is your heart, my friends? How is your heart? I'm convinced that as churches, we need to pray for our hearts. Please, would you pray for my church? It's a small church, very similar to you in size, but we don't have so many young people. It's in South East England. It's a place called Lawton. We probably have the opposite problem to you, so pray for us and we'll pray for you. We're looking for young people. You seem to have many. We've got three very old churches They go back 700 years, each of them. So we got to spend a lot of money keeping them together. But we don't have many people. So our prayer is that we will help the community see that Jesus is real. Jesus is alive today, and he's relevant to them. Would you pray for us? And we will pray for you as you've broken ground on a new place, as you hope to turn this into a youth center, as you hope to reach out into the community. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you the same way as Paul has encouraged my church and hopefully has encouraged you. There's a lot to be thankful for. Friends, how is your heart? You may have heart disease as a Christian if you're not thankful. Pray that the Lord will make you thankful. Again, one of the parallels between Ezra and Ephesians is they were remembering. The children of Israel, while they'd been in Babylon, we were learning in our group, had forgotten all about God. They hadn't really been worshiping him in the right place. One of the people who was speaking with us reminded us of that wonderful song by Boney M. Now I'm showing my age. You know, by the rivers of Babylon, I think some of us could sing it. Others are saying, ah, what is he talking about? That ancient group. Well, the song reminds us that the love for the Israelites, for their God, had grown cold. Why? Because they were being persecuted in Babylon. They said, how can we sing the songs of Jerusalem in a strange land? And in fact, every time the Babylonians said, oh, sing for us another Jewish song, they said, no, we can't. We've hung up our guitars. We've hung up our saxophone. We've hung up our harp. We can't do that anymore. Friends, how is your heart? If your heart is cold towards God, it may be that when you come to pray, all you have is a list for him. Do you know that? Lord, please, I beg of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Why haven't you answered me? We may have a heart disease. First and foremost, the Lord, like the people in Israel, Ezra, wants us to come and worship him for who he is, for what he has done. Friends, it's very, very easy, however we worship God, to sing wonderful songs, to sing great hymns, but to have a heart disease. We're not really in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've lost our love for him. So Paul writes this wonderful letter, and I just want to highlight some things from Ephesians 1, just in a few brief meetings, till the top of the hour. He says, grace and peace to you. In other words, I'm coming in grace and peace. When the Apostle Paul came to the Ephesian church, he was often in a hurry to do other things, and they were aware of it. So when he first came in Acts chapter 18, he'd been to Corinth. He was on the way, effectively. And the Ephesians were a very interesting bunch. When I talk about heart disease, they had heart. They really cared. I don't know whether any of you support any particular football team or any other sports team, but you will know that sometimes you might get a little bit worked up. My dad supports football, not any particular team, although, you know, when the Black Star team is you know, he kind of comes alive. But if you come to his home in Reading, you'll find that the carpet just beside his chair is worn, because dad doesn't just support football, he plays it, you know, particularly when the ball's getting close to the goal. What's my point? My point is the Ephesians were very passionate. If you look into Acts chapter 19, you will find they had a problem with Paul because they got so worked up that he was talking about some extra god. They reminded him very loudly and very often and very regularly that Artemis is our god. Artemis is the god of the Ephesians. They wouldn't shut up. They kept on shouting this. They were passionate. But Paul wants to encourage their heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does it in three ways. I don't know whether we've got those slides, if you could roll them briefly. I just wanted to summarize some of the gifts that we have in verses 1 to 10. I think I counted about 15. You might count some more. There's grace and there's peace. And then he mentions all these blessings that have been given to them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is given to them, verse 3. What are some of those other blessings? What stirs our hearts, or should stir our hearts? Well, he's chosen us, says Paul. Right from the beginning of time, that word predestination in verse 5, from the beginning of time, he determined that we would be his. Yes, if we can go on to that slide. Thank you. Verses 1 to 10. Sorry, I know I'm going to make your eyes strain. That's fine. Have a look at the phone. Have a look at scripture in front of you. So he chose us, he predestined us, he's adopted us to be his children. We're not servants or slaves. friends in church this morning, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're his family. We belong to him. And that is why he wants us to love him. Greater love hath no man than this, it says in John, than that he gives his life for his friends. We are more than friends if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is reminding the Ephesians of the love that Christ has for them. Not only that, but we've adopted to do something. A bit like Ezra, we've been adopted to praise his glorious name, verse 6. And he's given us the opportunity to praise him. And then he carries on. We've got redemption. We can be free from sin through Christ. He's forgiven our sins, verse 7. And all of this is because of the riches of God's grace. And if that weren't enough, the blessings go on. I think I'm at around about blessing number 12. 13, he lavished on us what? Wisdom and understanding. Friends, how is your heart? It's possible that if we look at the quality of our prayers and it's just a long list of things, or we're pleading with the Lord, and it's not wrong to plead with him, but we're not worshiping him, that perhaps like the Ephesians in Revelation, we've fallen out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've forgotten all the things he's done. And a bit like the people in Israel, we need to go back and remind ourselves of his gifts. And we need to come back and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Not only has he done all of these things, but when we look at verse 8 and verse 9, we realize he has so much more for us. One of the reasons, church, that we come to church, isn't it? That we come and sit down in small groups is because we want to encourage one another about what his word says. And the reason for that is because he has much wisdom and understanding to give us. Do you remember when Jesus was on earth, so many times it was said he would say a parable or he'd give some teaching and the people would go away and then he'd stay with his disciples and explain what he had been teaching. Friends, oftentimes the Lord is only limited by our lack of attention to detail, our lack of love for him, which means we rush off to the next thing and we haven't heard his still small voice. So he has wisdom for us. He has understanding. The King of Kings who created the universe, everything we can see and more than besides, has more than enough wisdom for you and I every single day. Praise him. Amen. Amen. How is your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ? How is your heart? Can we go to the next slide? So those are the gifts. But even more important than that, Paul reminds these Christians in Ephesus, and he reminds us, therefore, as church, that we have obtained an inheritance. We're not slaves. We're not servants. We are daughters and sons of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right since the beginning of time, when God had you and I in mind, in all of our particularity, in all the ways that make us us, what an amazing God, he determined that he would let us know about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would help us to respond if we've responded to him. And in verses 11 to 14, Paul simply reminds the Ephesians that that response is part of our inheritance. We need to live in the reality that we are adopted sons and daughters of the living God. That should make a difference to us. It's quite a difference, isn't it? If our hearts are simply bringing to the Lord a list of things, demands and desires that we want to see, it's quite different, isn't it? If our hearts are turned to praising God for all he is and all he has done to us. And if we do that first, as we learned they did in the days of Ezra, then we will do amazing things. My friend, if you look at the book of Ezra, you will notice the book of Nehemiah follows shortly afterwards. That's not a coincidence. God's people were released first to build his temple, to worship him, and then to rebuild the city. I notice in your mission statement, you want to affect Accra. Praise the Lord! Well, then you will worship him first. You'll examine your heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the point of going out into Adenta if we don't have the love of Christ that constrains us, that compels us? Really, we won't have anything to offer. We will be other busy natives of Accra. That's all we will be. I will be another busy native of the Southeast. And the Southeast of England is filled with busy people. If we're different, we're different because the Lord has made us different together as a community, first and foremost, to worship him. But there's more than that. Do you notice in this inheritance? We have been brought into the family of God firstly, to praise his name. The glory goes to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we be marked with this Holy Spirit. Friends, that's so important. If your heart is weak, as sometimes mine might feel it is on a day like today, let's be encouraged. It's nothing to do with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to transform us so that we love him more. And we can anticipate the future, however we are, knowing that the Holy Spirit lives within us. It is he who allows us to do what we need to do here on this earth. Yes, he's a deposit that guarantees the inheritance. That inheritance is that we will live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever in a new heaven and in a new earth to the praise of his glory. A good friend of mine said recently, what we do in church is basically rehearse, practice heaven. That's what we do. And if we do that enthusiastically and well, if a bit like that marriage course, we get together as singles and couples and remind one another of the love that we can have in a simple way, well, then we will go out in the week to love and serve the Lord Christ. And we'll see, not because of what we're doing, because of what the Holy Spirit has done in us and allows us to do by his grace. That wisdom and that insight is the wisdom and insight we need every day, every week, to discern, to understand, what is God doing in my part of Accra? What is he doing in my work? What is he doing in my family? What is he doing in my nation? If I can work out what he's doing through his word, through his people, well, then I can worship and serve him every day of the week, giving glory to Christ. Friends, how is your heart this morning? If your heart is not attuned to the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be comfortable. You won't be happy. That's why we were designed to live into our inheritance. Not because of something we do. He's done it for us. Can we continue to the third slide? Beyond the fact that we have been given all these gifts, says Paul to the Ephesian church, beyond the fact that we're in an inheritance, the Lord wants to give us wisdom. And I just want to focus on one verse, because our time is almost gone. The wisdom takes many different forms. And frankly, Pastor Samuel or any of our other leaders could preach a whole series, not only on this passage, but just on these particular verses, verses 16 to 20, and you may have had sermons on it. Whether you think of wisdom as a wise African elephant, you know, the wisdom of the ages who's been around for a long, long, long time, understands where the elephant tribe has been, where the water holes are, where the good pastures are. And actually, when they lose members of their family, circle round and seem to mourn, physically mourn, that wisdom. Or whether you look for the wisdom of something like an owl, which is so wise, it hunts at night and it's silent. It's a big bird, but you'll never often see it or hear it because it flies silently. However that wisdom is available to us. Verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, his holy people. A little girl was asked once, what are the saints? And she responded, don't we love the wisdom of the wise? Well, a saint is someone that light shines through. And asked, why do you say that? She said, well, I was in church and there was these funny colored windows and they told me there were saints there. The light shines through them. How right she was. Friends, how is your heart? Does the light of Christ shine through you? Do you love him so much that you long to do his will? Does the light of Christ shine through you? You don't have a difficulty loving your neighbor. You don't have a difficulty loving your family, not because of what you're doing, not because of what you've read necessarily, but because the love of Christ is in you and empowers you to do that. But I want to focus on verse 19. His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. My dear friends, I'm aware that across our city today, across Accra, there'll be a number of people using the word power. I suspect they'll have even bigger systems than we have, speaker systems. And you will hear the P of power very powerfully. I won't stand so close to the mic. You know that kind of church. Paul isn't talking about that. Paul is not talking about that kind of power. He's talking about a far greater power, and that power is in front of us as Christians, and if we don't grasp it, we may struggle we may have heart disease. The cure to heart disease as a Christian is to understand the power that is available to us. There are three kinds of power that I notice. Have you noticed it in these verses? Paul goes on to talk about which he, that is God the Father, exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the first kind of power, resurrection power. Friends, is your heart beginning to be warmed? I hope it is, unless it's not alive, and you all look alive to me. We have been given many gifts, reminds Paul. Not only that, but we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have an inheritance, and we have power available to us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power by the Holy Spirit is available to us, not to do anything we like with it, not to stand in front of thousands of people and repeat the word power. No, nothing like that. We are part of his kingdom. We are given, if we look at his word, if we encourage one another, insights by the Holy Spirit to what he is already doing in his world, and he can do that through us. He doesn't need to, but he loves to. He wants to. That's why he created us. He wants us to serve with him in his kingdom with resurrection power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. But that's not the only thing. He talks about seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That's a different type of power. And that power is also available to us. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ now? Where is he? Where is he? He's not here, is he? He's beside his Father, praying for us, is what we hear, on the right hand of the Father. He's risen and ascended. That ascension power is also available. And friends, that's a mighty power. That's why John 15 is so important to us as Christians. Of course we want to remain in the vine. We want to be plugged into the power source. Why? Because Christ's love flows through us. Not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ every single day prays for you, prays for me. Have we understood that? As we sometimes come to Christ and cry out, Lord, please, there's nothing wrong with doing that. He loves to hear our voice. But how is your heart? Will you listen to him? If you are in a relationship with someone and the only thing you do is say, oh, my dear, let me tell you about my day. After a little while, that person will probably lose relationship with you. All you're interested in is yourself. You're not interested in them. Occasionally, my wife reminds me, Steve, that's all very well. You haven't asked about my day yet. Quite right. Am I in love with her? Yes. Am I showing it? Ah, that's the question. How's my heart? How's your heart, church, towards Christ? Are you making time to listen to him? My friends, if some of us are not, then don't be complaining if your heart is a bit weak. I ask some people, you know, how often do you read God's word? I don't just mean read God's word, read all of God's word. I'm so encouraged as I came to you this morning. I had no idea you were looking at Ezra. I must tell Pastor Samuel afterwards to tell me beforehand. But I was so encouraged. A lot of churches wouldn't look at that book. Oh, that's in the Old Testament. No, no, no. It's relevant to our Almighty God, as we have seen together. Praise the Lord that as a church you look at the old and the new and you remind yourselves of what the Lord has done. Wonderful. That ascension power, the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ interpreted through the Holy Spirit, is available to you and I as daughters and sons of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords every single day. Friends, how is your heart? But that's not all. There's a third kind of power. Do you see why Paul gets so excited about the Ephesian church? He gets excited about them and their faith. He also gets excited because he's saying, friends, I want you to see what the Lord has done for you. The third power is in verse 21. Where is Jesus Christ? Well, he's far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything, the church. Now, that power, you might call, is dominion power. Again, the word dominion is probably being preached in different ways in different places across the world, but not with a capital D. It's with the Lord Jesus Christ in control. The one who has dominion over the universe is the one who created it. It's a perfect circle. Jesus Christ spoke the word, and all creation came into being, not just the earth, but the heavens, yes, the stars. All those places we will never see with our eyes are there. They're glorifying God, quietly, but they're glorifying God. Friends, how's your heart? Do we recognize in this fallen world that all of creation, the heavens and the earth, belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ? And one day, and it says it here, he will bring everything into one. That's what he's doing. So we don't have to be depressed about the state of the world. We can bring that to the Lord because he knows about it. And we can ask that his resurrection power, his ascension power, his dominion power will fill us as his people to be the people he wants us to be in the places he's sending us, with hope and with love. Not to exercise rule and dominion, capital D, but in love. A bit like the Apostle Paul was doing. A bit like the prophet Ezra was doing all those years ago. Point out to the people of God, listen, this is our God. He loves us and he reigns. And he reigns through us. Friends, how is your heart? Can we go to the final slide, if we may, please? So what are we praying for? If you want a spiritual heart disease test, ask yourself, what are you praying for? And be honest. And the best way to be honest is keep yourself a little journal, just for 1 week, maybe for this next week. Jot down everything you're praying for. And you might want to jot it down in this way. You might want to take a sheet of A4, put it on landscape, along the page, as it were, and just put down adoration, confession, asking or supplication, and thanksgiving. Those four things, put that at the top of the page. And just jot down during the week, what have you prayed for? It's interesting to see how much we adore our Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, my suggestion, building on what Paul has said, is if we don't adore him, if we don't tell him that we love him, it may be that we don't. That actually we're coming along to church, we're doing all those things, and that's wonderful. But that's not the same as being in love with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of time might, like John predicted in Revelation, be saying of us, please that he doesn't. Like he said of the Ephesian church, you've lost your first love. We all know that. Somebody's in a relationship and they can't get enough of that other person. And they keep on talking about them. And then you meet them a few years later on, and somehow everything has cooled. Everything is colder. No, we need to keep our relationship clear. So, in conclusion, Christ is bringing all things into one, and he's doing it, friends, through the church. Verse 23, his body, the fullness, it says, of him who fills everything in every way. Friends, I want to encourage us, as Paul encouraged the Ephesian church, that we are the people of God. And if we are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, then those powers I talked about, his resurrection power, the ability to realize that our sins are forgiven and that we are free to serve him is true. His ascension power, the ability to realize that before I even say anything in worship, in thanksgiving, or ask, Jesus already knows. And in fact, he's already been praying for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what I need to do is tune into his love for me so that I can love him more and I can express that love in the work that I do, in the family that I'm a part of, in the community that I'm a part of, in the things that he's asking me to do and to be. And that includes, dear friends, even just spending time with someone who needs to unburden their hearts to us, where we can love them for who they are, because Christ has loved us first. So that's how Paul encouraged the Ephesian Christians. That's the glory of the gospel. And what excites me today is, and I didn't know about it, whether you go to Ezra to begin with, or whether you come to Ephesians, it's the same Lord God. He's constantly calling his people back to worship him first. And that's primarily what we do, isn't it, on a Sunday? And not just singing wonderful songs. And it's good that we do so with great enthusiasm, but we want to express what's in our hearts. And friends, that's what we can do as church. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us graciously and kindly and with compassion hold one another to account and ask, how is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you in love with him? Or are you in love perhaps with the idea of him? Or with the things that his people do? Or the things you think the church should do? There may be nothing wrong with those things, but that's not the same as being in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bear in mind that when Paul wrote this letter, he was in deep trouble with the Roman authorities. In fact, he was constantly in trouble with the Roman authorities. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't promise us an easy life, and some of us may be going through some real trouble and hardships. That is why it's so important to remember who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ and to pray, Lord, that his love will be real to us as we seek to live for one another. The mystery that Paul wanted to reveal was not for boasting or for show or to say how great we are. The mystery was to remind this small church that they had a really important part to play in the growth of the wider church. And we know that because 2,000 years later, we're looking at the very letter that was sent to them. But as I said, there was another letter in Revelation which hides that warning. At some point, their love for the Lord Jesus grew cold. And that's why I need to keep on reminding ourselves. Well, let us just pray, shall we, as we close. What are we praying for? How do our prayers illustrate or betray our love or not for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Our loving Lord, we've sung together that we want to hear those ancient words. We've told you many times in this service, we've sung to you that we love you, that we worship you, that we honor you, that we adore you. And we acknowledge that as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the ascended, risen Lord, you alone know whether we mean those words. But Lord, we're coming to you in deep repentance if we haven't. And a bit like the people in Ezra, we may have stumbled into a place where you are. And a bit like Moses, we need to take off the sandals off our feet and remember, this is holy ground. You see everything. But Lord, we thank you that you do see everything, so we don't have to hide anything from you. You're the perfect lover. You know us through and through because you created us. And so I pray, Lord, that you will recreate in us your deep love, first for you. Help us to hunger and thirst for you. Help us to find time in busy lives to put busyness aside and grow our relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, what a privilege. Help us to count our blessings, to name them one by one until we can't number them anymore. And bring us, Lord, in worship and adoration to you. And Lord, we pray that as a church, you'll continue to show us what it is you want us to be for you. We're conscious of many needy situations across Accra and indeed here in Adenta. Lord, we pray that you'll give us wisdom and understanding and discernment, not only to understand your word, but to apply it every day of the week in the things that we do, in the work that we're doing, in the lives that we're living. Help us to be conscious of your Holy Spirit, and may your Holy Spirit empower us and indeed constrain us if we're tempted to do things that are not in line with your will. Most of all, help us to press on to know and to love you. May it be said of our church here and the church that I'm in fellowship with in Southeast England that we love you and we're known as your people, constrained by your love. For we ask this in your mighty name with thanksgiving. Amen.